On today's episode of the Brad and Will Show, we're going to be talking about the Rockets streaking. They have the best record in March so far. Reasons why that's the case. We have Jalen Green playing great basketball, Fred VanVleet hooping really well. And people are saying, hey, you know, are the Rockets better without Alper and Şengün? We're going to discuss all that on this episode, so definitely stay tuned.
And welcome back to the episode of the Bridal and Will Show. I'm your first, as always, Will. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all the good stuff at Bias Houston. I'm gonna quickly plug the Playback, which is the new cool thing that we're doing right now. Houston Live Room on Playback .tv. It's an app. It's a website. Check it out. You know during the games, we're in there watching the games live, reacting to them. So you can come through. You can come react to them on stage with us as well. Post game. Halftime, pregame, all that good stuff. We got you covered over there, Houston Live. And we appreciate the support you guys have been showing to the podcast lately. That's a lot of love on that end as well. So that's it for me. What's up, Brad?
Yeah, as always, Brad NBA. That's where y'all can find me. But I really want to dive into this topic, man. The Rockets been playing their best basketball since early in the year. You know, when they started off 0-3 and they went on a really good stretch. And then at a certain point in time, they were 13-9. And now we have the Houston Rockets, who are 7-1 so far in March. They have more wins than any NBA team this month. And they have a good four-game stretch coming up. They could mess around and win 9 games in a row. And that's going to really spark the conversation. Could this team make a plan? So, you know, we're going to be discussing that today. And we have a bunch of reasons why the Rockets have been winning games. You know, starting off with Jalen Green, who has been playing great basketball. And, you know, I'll kick it to Will and all his thoughts about that.
Yeah, I think that Jalen Green has been one of the biggest reasons why we are we have been able to take this leap in this month. Just for this particular last week, we were 4-0 during this week. And during this week, he averaged 24.5 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, 3.5 assists per game. He shot 40% from 3 on 7.5 attempts, and he had a 58.9 true shooting. Like I said, the Rockets were undefeated during this week. And these are kind of, I mean, the rebounds, we've been talking about that all season long about how much improved he is on his rebound. I also want to add that he's also, I think he played some of his best defense this week on the season as well. So like, I think he's played a very complete on both ends of the ball type of game. But like, you know, his rebounds, he's taking a leap there. But I think just in general, this is what we kind of expected from him, or we thought we were going to see kind of in that quote unquote year three leap from Jalen Green, what we saw from this previous week. And, you know, we talked about things being sustainable and what is and isn't sustainable. A lot of times, Jalen Green, you know, his early in the season, we talked about a lot of his games where he would score a lot of points would be a product of him hitting like an unsustainable amount of threes, just getting really, really hot. And I mean, yeah, he did shoot 40% from three this season, although it was on really good volume, like 7.5 that's really good volume. But the most important part for me is that he's getting to the rim. Now he's getting to the rim. He's taking in mid range as well. Like he's taking those kind of shots and he's making them. And to me, that's sustainable. To me, that's not just a fluke. That's just not one guy getting really hot from three on one night, and so therefore his numbers are inflated. Like that's the way that you carry this kind of momentum on into the, you know, the upcoming games. And so I think that he is he's arguably been our best player, you know, over this stretch. I think he's been extremely important. And I don't want to jump the gun here, but I do think that him playing the way he's played is a direct product of the tempo picking up and Fred VanVleet and his play kind of picking up. So, yeah, I don't want to jump the gun too much. I'm going to let Brad kind of touch on Jalen Green before we kind of get to the rest of the show.
Yeah, just for me, what stood out the most with Jalen Green, you know, not only is the three ball starting to fall, you know, that's been most important for his game this year. You know, he's had stretches where he was just missing wide open shots. I talked about it recently, but he was 12% down on wide open threes from last season. You know, he was in like the 27% range recently. And now his three ball is starting to fall, and he's taking around 8-ish a game. That opens up everything a lot more. But outside of that, he's shooting over 75% inside the restricted area on over 6 attempts a game. Like at this point in time in March, he has the best field goal percentage amongst. Go ahead.
Do you know what percentile that puts him in? I'm just curious.
Percentile. I have to check for the season, but right now, as a whole, he's 9th in the NBA this month out of every player, including centers. Amongst guards, he's first, if you don't account Amen Thompson, who actually is playing better at the rim. But We're going to count him as a wing because he low-key is a wing.
Yeah, he's I mean, been playing a wing lately.
So we're going to say Jalen, he's attacking the rim better than any guard right now. And you can see it. He's going in strong. He's not shying away from contact. And he's just been finishing really well. It's been really fun to watch. So I think those are big factors in Jalen Green's you know, increased level of play. And outside of that, of course, as Will mentioned, the defense is better. He's attacking the boards a lot better. He had 6 rebounds in the first quarter last game. And he got another double-double again. Didn't have a 10-rebound game in his career up until this year. So, yeah, it's great to see. You know, people have noted, hey, you know, Jalen does look better this year. It's just he can't shoot threes, and the offense is extremely inconsistent to the point where it's just very ugly basketball to watch. But now you look at him, and when he's playing this level, when he's playing on this level offensively, and you get what he's been, you know, doing outside of that, you know, defensively, you know, rebounding, all that other stuff, he looks like an extremely good basketball player. That's the reason why you don't give up on a 22-year-old. So, yeah, love what I've been seeing from Jalen. A big reason for this team's success.
Yeah. I want to add one more thing to the Jalen before we kind of moved on. One thing that we talk about a lot in the playback, quick plug, is me and Vader, we've been talking a lot lately about Jalen not settling for threes, right? There was a possession yesterday where it was a two-possession kind of sample where he had, I don't know if it was in transition. I want to say it might have been. When he had Niang on. I don't know if it was in transition or if it was just out of a half-court set. But he ended up getting the entire right side of the court emptied out, right? Everybody spaced out to the left side, so he had the entire right side of the court to himself. He had Georges Niang on an island with him. And Georges Niang is an NBA player. This is kind of funny, right? We talked about Georges Niang a couple times on the podcast because of Harden last year. But Georges Niang is an NBA player, but, like, Georges Niang is not no one's checking for Georges Niang, especially defensively. Like, he's more known for spacing the floor and being, a threat with his jumper, right? He's not necessarily known to be the guy who's locking someone up defensively. Jalen Green, right now he's demonstrating an elite first step. And so when I see him have an empty side of the court and he's being guarded by Georges Niang and you're finishing at the rim really, really well, the way, like, as Brad illustrated, he's the best, you know, finisher for a guard right now. And that matches the eye test. Like, if you're watching these games, he's getting to the rim with consistency. He's finishing up, around, through contact. Like, all, you know, it's not just one singular finish. Like, he's getting very creative and, like, it's diversifying the way he finished around the rim. If that's how good you've been, you're bailing the defense out by taking a three, which is what he did. He took a step back three. And it's like you have the whole side of the court to yourself. You have an elite first step. You're finishing around the rim really well. Jared Allen is good at rim protection. He just cannot stop you right now. And Georges Niang is someone who's, like, begging to not, like, have to move his feet to guard you. You're bailing them out by taking a step back three, which, to his credit, like I said, he's getting better at those. But, like, on a season totality, he hasn't been that welcome shooting from three. So it's like, I'd like to see him be more aggressive. And it's kind of funny because the very next possession, he has Isaac Okoro on the left side and scores on him. And Isaac Okoro is a good defender. Like, that's probably their best perimeter defender on the Cavs. And he just, like, breezed right through Isaac Okoro like it was nothing. And so it's I don't know, I'm laughing at myself. I'm like, you took the step back three on the guy who was a traffic cone, but then you breeze right through the guy who's an elite defender. So, like, I just need to see him put his head down, you know, be more aggressive, get into the rim, realize that, like, can't nobody stay in front of him. And now that he's finishing, like, really, really well, now can't nobody really block his shot. Or, like, you know, if they try to, you probably won't get fouled. You're going to the free throw line. So, yeah, I want to see him be more aggressive and be more assertive, getting downhill and, you know, being a finisher on the rim. But I don't know. That's all I want to add on Jalen Green. If you want to add anything else, we can.
Yeah, that's a great point.
All right.
That's how you put that perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I want to say, I think one of the reasons too, and I it's all over the place, but one of the reasons that we have been successful lately, I think, has been because of the tempo. We've been playing a lot faster lately. And obviously, that there's the whole Alper and Shingu discussion we're going to get into later. But I think one of the biggest reasons that we have been able to play at a faster tempo is because of Fred VanVleet. And if you followed me on Playback or the Spaces, I don't know how much I've talked about on the podcast, y'all know I'm not the biggest Fred VanVleet guy. I think that he's for what he was brought here to do, I think he's accomplished it, right? Like, I don't think that he's a bad player. I think he's the second best player on our team. He's probably the best player right now with Shingun's absence. So, like, I think he's a great player. My problems with him is that I think that I think he's a little overrated as a point guard. And I think that he's very one-dimensional with his reads. He's done a really good job this last week and a half or so of proving that wrong. Now, obviously, like on season totality, it's still been what it was. But recently, he's been making a lot of really good reads. Once again, one thing we talked about in the playback was that he's very like telegraphed sometimes with his passing. There's not that much manipulation of the defense. It's kind of like we know, all right, in this scenario, you're getting the ball here. You're going here with the ball. Especially yesterday, man, I saw Fred VanVleet making passes like where he was moving defenders with his eyes. And I'm like, yo, you wasn't doing this last week. You wasn't throwing these skip, like he's throwing skip passes with a lot more regularity, which back in the day, that was like, if I saw Fred throw a skip pass, I'm like, oh, wait, we don't, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't do that. Now I'm starting to see him do that more regularly. He's, like I said, he's diversifying his reads. It's not just the same, like, I used to call him like a game manager. He was like the guy who threw the checkdowns. He's not throwing checkdowns no more. He's actually like making some reads. He's making some plays. I think one thing that he kind of struggled with a lot, it was against the Wizards, right? And I saw him pick it up as the game progressed, is the pace, right? We talk about this in the playback a lot now, but I remember like this when that game started, Amin and Jaylen were using their quick first step to get to the rim and punish the fact the Wizards did not have a rim protector and their perimeter defense was kind of trash. Like it was just no reason for them to not be attacking the rim, getting downhill. And I was getting frustrated because I'm watching Fred when he gets the ball, he's slowing it down. And I'm like, well, like, no, like, let's run, let's get out because they can't stop that. Like, we were successful like that. Let's stop slowing the pace. Let's pick it up. To Fred's credit, you know, towards the end of that game and, you know, and yesterday, Fred is picking the pace up. And so I think that a lot of the whole, like, Alperen Şengün is slowing us down. He's holding us back. Like, that's a false equivalent to me. Like, so I'll talk about that later. But I think one of the biggest reasons that we are playing at a faster pace is because our point guard's playing faster now. Like, just, by, you know, point blank period, if your point guard's playing at a slow pace, you're going to play at a slow pace. And Fred's been picking it up lately. He's been making better reads. He had, I want to say, like 15, 16 assists yesterday, like one turnover. 15, yeah, one turnover. So he wasn't turning the ball over. That was one of the best games I've ever seen from him in terms of his pure point guard play. And so I want to, you know, show Fred at least some love and give him his flowers for how he's been playing recently.
Yeah, and I have to do the exact same. Again, I'll go off of this month. He's averaging 20 points, 10 assists. 1.9 steals, only two turnovers.
Defense has been crazy, yeah.
Has been amazing. And not only that, a guy who's known for being inefficient has been extremely efficient. True shooting percentage over 65%. If you don't like true shooting percentage, I feel you. His field goal percentage is 47%, and his three-point percentage is over 45%, and he's taking around 7 to 8-ish a game. So Fred has been playing perfect basketball, the exact guy that you want to get if you're going to give him a max contract. This is the style of play that you want. And Will brought up a bunch of good points. You know, he's pushing the pace. He's making really good reads. He had one dime yesterday. I forget who it was, but he threw it to the left, and someone had a nice, easy lay. But yeah, he's been.
It might have been Dylan. I don't know.
It could have been Dylan. But yeah, even then, he had a skip pass to Dylan early in the game. I've been loving the reads that he's been making, and he's been a huge part of this team's success. You have to give him credit. He has gotten a ton of, you know, slander, hate this year. And I think from, as Will mentioned as well, what he's been brought in to do this year, he has definitely accomplished that. And it's going to be an interesting conversation next year, depending on how he finishes off, you know, this season and next season, and what they're going to do, you know, with that team option. But how he's playing right now is perfect basketball, and I know Ime Udoka loves it. Again, it's probably, I won't say it's the biggest reason for the team's success. It's definitely Jaylen stepping up, but it's Fred's right there with him. Fred has been amazing.
And I think one of the things that's really helped I forgot to mention the defense, like you said, Brad. Defensively, he's been really, really solid lately. But I think one of the things that's kind of helped Fred become more of the version of Fred that I enjoy seeing him be more of the pure playmaker, the pure facilitator, get the guys going, is Jalen Green stepping up. Right? We talk about this a lot too. One of the reasons that Fred VanVleet has to take those really bad shots that I hate watching him take is because if he doesn't take them, like, what is the off? Especially like if Şengün he's not on the court, if he's hurt, like a lot of times this season, what was the offense if Fred VanVleet didn't take those shots? It was usually bad shot or turnover. So, even though I don't like seeing him take those shots, I can understand in his brain while he's like, well, like, man, if like this is, I can get to the shot pretty reliably and nobody else is doing something. So, I got to try to do something to get this team going. And now that Jalen is stepping up and, you know, like putting Fred VanVleet back in the role he's supposed to be, Fred VanVleet came here to be the second best guard on the team. Jalen's supposed to be the best guard. Now that Jalen is stepping up to be that best guard, Fred VanVleet can kind of go back into, all right, I can pick my spots better. I can focus more on playmaking, right? Like I said, the times where he would step up as a shot creator will be because no one else was. I think in Fred VanVleet's ideal world, he is off ball more. He is setting guys up more. He is kind of taking a backseat to the young guys. And now that, like I said, now that Jalen Green is stepping up, only everybody else, I don't want to just say it's just Jalen, but Jalen specifically, he's kind of taking more ownership of his role and of this team. And I think that's what's really helped Fred kind of go into that, like I said, just that pure playmaker role, pure get guys going role. And like I said, I think now he's making more of an emphasis to speed the ball up in transition, get guys going. And I think that's just all around been one of the keys to our recent success. But I don't know if you want to add anything else to that before we go to the next topic. All right.
Last thing I will say about Fred is, on the defensive note, he's been helping a lot better. There were times early in the year where I'm like, oh, this is a bad time to go and double. But he's been really good.
He's
been out at, you know, going into the post and coming down there, you know, getting a steal and just helping out in that kind of way. It's just elite IQ, what I've been seeing from him. I wanted to touch on that lastly.
I mean, you kind of alley-ooped it perfect in terms of, like, elite IQ. Amin Thompson, that's been my guy the whole time. I've been singing his praises before we drafted him, summer league, preseason. All right. He is really, really good, and he's really, really good, like, in year one. Like, this is off the rips. He's really good. And I think another reason why the pace has been faster, like I said, we're going to get into the Alperen Şengün talk later, but I think another reason why we've been playing at a faster pace is because we now have two of the best athletes in the entire league in our starting lineup. Like, and I don't mean that in like a hyperbolic way. I mean that like literally. Like, I don't think that there's a single team in the NBA in his starting five that has two athletes faster than Amin Thompson, Jalen Green. I really don't. Like, as far as fast as like John Morant is, he's hurt right now. De'Aaron Fox, guys like that. The Kings don't have two of those guys. We have two of them, right? We have Jalen and Amin. And those, like I said, those guys being as fast as they are getting down here, like I said, that was an emphasis that they had in the Wizards game, was like, can any of these guys guard us? Kyle Kuzma's at the center. He can't stop nobody from getting to the rim. Let's get downhill. And, you know, Amin Thompson has been phenomenal at that. I think that's one of the reasons we're playing faster. The other reason we're playing faster is Amin Thompson. Shout out Miles on Twitter. He was the first person I heard use this term. He called it event creating, right? He's Amin is really good at creating events on defense, on, you know, whether that's, you know, steals, blocks, deflections, just, you know, hedging at the right time. Like, I don't mean this in any hyperbolic kind of way. Amin Thompson is the best defender on this team right now. Year one, he's the best defender on the roster. And I mean, man, I struggle I don't think I could give you five names right now who I think are better defensively than Amin Thompson, just on the perimeter. I don't think I could. I think there's the Carusos and the Derek Whites of the world. After that, man, it starts getting real, real shaky for me in terms of like POA guys who I'd rather have guarding my opponent's best player than Amin Thompson. He did a great job on both Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell yesterday. And there were possessions where he was switched on to Jared Allen. And like we keep saying, like how many guys in the NBA have the defensive versatility to guard Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell, and Jared Allen and do a good job on all three of those players? Like, there's not that many guys in the league. So I think one of the reasons, once again, we're playing faster, we have somebody out there who's creating turnovers, creating problems on defense, that leads to more transition opportunities with two of the best athletes on the court. Fred's pushing the ball a little bit more now. You get more opportunities, you're playing faster. So, you know, I want to give him his flowers as well. I think Amin Thompson has been playing outstanding. He's been playing really well in that dunker spot. Do you know if he has the most dunks in the league for like a guard/wing hybrid at this point? I mean, I know he's up there if he's not number one.
Per game, I would assume it's up there. I'll have to look it up. But he's been.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah. Even on that note, again, I mentioned it in the Jalen segment. Amin Thompson's been dominating, you know, at the basket, at the rim. It's an adjustment for him. He's never screened and rolled in his entire life. He mentioned it, and he said he really enjoys it. He said he's been watching Ausar do so. And, he's been playing really well in that dunker spot, you know, and that's where his efficiency is sky high. You know, he's shooting 63% you know, from the field as a starter this year. Even as a starter, he's averaging 13, 10, you know, 3.4 assists, racking up the steals and blocks. He's just been a huge contributor to this team. And again, pace has been very, very important. You can watch this last Cavs game as an example. There's one play, the Rockets get a steal. Amen Thompson is running from the other basket and sprints down and beats everybody. And he dusts Sam Merrill, who's behind him. It's hilarious if you ever watch that. And yeah, he's by far the fastest player on the court. He might be the fastest player in the NBA at his size. And yeah, he's always running. Anytime something happens, Amen's going to be the first one down there. And same with Jalen, which is why, again, pace has helped this team a lot. But yeah, Amen just being inserted into this group, being comfortable, being the huge plus that he is. And Will said, he's the best defender on the Rockets. I agree. And Will said, he might be probably a top five defender on the perimeter. As of right now, if you look at advanced metrics, Alex Caruso is the only one that is better than him on the perimeter. And that is it. That is it, ladies and gentlemen. And he is top 10 in the NBA as a whole as a defender, if you're going off.
And this is as a 21-year-old, man. Like,
Yeah. And if you want the exact advanced metric, it's estimated plus minus. It's Dunks and Threes is the website. That's the best advanced metric out right now. Amen Thompson is in the 98th percentile. Yeah, he's a real defender. It's absurd what he's able to do. We saw him lock up Book earlier in the year, and we saw him recently play against
KD, SGA.
KD, SGA. I have a whole compilation on my page of him locking up SGA. And yeah, even Donovan Mitchell yesterday, he's able to stick in front of any guy you throw at him, and he's only going to get better. So he's been a huge reason for this team's success. He's finally comfortable. And I'll say this time and time again, any Hornets fans watching this might not like this. Amen Thompson is the second best rookie in the NBA. I'm not going off of the entire season sample size. Who's the best rookies right now? Boom. Yeah, obviously that alien in San Antonio. Yes. Amen Thompson is number two. What he's giving you right now on both ends of the floor, you cannot replicate that.
And it contributes to winning. It's a winning, like the way he plays, it leads to wins. And I think above every, no matter, you know, what the counting stats say, if you're not playing winning basketball, it kind of doesn't matter. So,
again, to get someone who just contributes like that offensively, who's in the 99th percentile in offensive rebounding and defensive rebounding, top 95% in steal percentage and block percentage, and is, again, a top-tier athlete in the NBA, you can't tell me that's not, come on. He's going to be absurd. And shout out to Will for calling it on draft night. But that's all I got to say about him, man. He's going to be
I not was fighting for my life on lottery night, man. I was like, man, we're going to be fine with them. And hey, I want to touch on one more thing with the men, and I'll move on to Jabari. Mm-hmm. We talk about like the two areas that he needs to work on 100%. It's the handle and the jumper. I've been saying I think the handle actually is a bit more of an area of need than the jumper, because I think if he gets the handle down, we can start seeing him initiate more offense than what he already does. Which I do. I do want to see the Rockets give him more opportunities to initiate. I'm glad I remembered that. It's just like the second units, when we don't have Fred and Jalen on the court, I would love to see Amen kind of get inserted there and be tasked with leading those units. I think that's a good opportunity for him to get some on-ball reps and on-ball learning opportunities, because we have pretty much been using him just as like a wing, like the dunker spot, which like isn't necessarily a bad thing. He's really good at it. It's leading to wins. And honestly, that's more important than anything, you know, any, I guess, aesthetic when it comes to hooping, is does it lead to winning? I think him maximized is with a handle, being a lead ball handler. We can see more of his playmaking chops. We can see more of his creation skills there with the ball in his hands. But because he doesn't have a handle right now, that's not really possible. Same thing with the jumper. But let's say worst case scenario, right? Which, you know, knock on wood, I think Amen Thompson is going to figure both the handle and the jumper out sooner than later, because we know what type of hard worker he is. We know what type of guy. The guy, like I said, he's the kind of guy you got to kick out the gym. So I think he's going to figure that out. But knock on wood, worst case scenario, he doesn't. And this is just who he is. He's still a really good NBA player, like right now. Like, this is still somebody who you could feasibly start, I think, on a playoff contending team right now. I've been using like the Aaron Gordon comp. I think he's like Aaron Gordon meets Draymond Green light, kind of. Like, that's kind of what I would compare him to in terms of like the, because he's been playing the power forward lately. I would compare him to that, the Aaron Gordon, in the sense of he knows how to cut. He's really good at catching lobs and finishing plays off of, you know, Fred VanVleet and Alperen Şengün. We've seen the chemistry between those playmakers and Amen as a finisher. We've seen that develop lately. I liken it a lot to how Jokic and Aaron Gordon have their little chemistry. I see a lot of similarities between Amin and Şengün in that regards. And like I said, Aaron Gordon is really versatile defensively. Same thing with Draymond. But like I said, the Draymond comp kind of comes into play because I think that he has that kind of defensive mind that Draymond has, and also that playmaking mind that Draymond has, where like he's able to see the court. He's able to make certain plays that other guys just are not capable of making with his playmaking. And so, yeah, like I think, you know, obviously, is he a perfect player? No, there's a lot of he has to work on, like the jumper, if nothing else, like that would really help him come postseason time. But I think regardless, I think just right now at 21 years old, I think that you could still feasibly start him on a playoff team and see some success there because of the way he's able to defend, because of the way he's able to cut and finish around the basket, because of the way he's able to rebound, because of his high IQ. Like, he's going to find a way to impact the game. And this is probably the worst he's ever going to be. So, it only gets up from here. I'm really ecstatic with what we've seen from Amin Thompson lately. But Pika to Jabari, same thing with him. Someone who struggled a lot rookie year, struggled sometimes. He went through like a rough patch post his injury. But I mean, lately he's been right back. He's been knocking down threes. We saw a lot of pick and pop from Jabari yesterday, which something that we've been begging for since his rookie year, was like, let that guy set some screens and pop out from some easy catch and shoot threes. We saw a lot of that yesterday. Really good there. The defense, inconsistent, but when it's on, he's really good there. He's a really good rebounder. He's been playing some of his best basketball lately too. Nothing that like necessarily pops out to you in terms of like the box score numbers, but if you watch the game, you feel Jabari's impact on the game. And for a year two guy who I believe he might actually be, he's younger than Amin, right?
He's the second player on the team.
Yeah, so he's like still next to what Cam, I guess, right? Cam's probably the youngest. So he's still one of the youngest guys. He was one of the youngest guys in his draft class, one of the youngest guys in the entire association. To me, that's still like that marginal improvement from a game by game, it's a season progress basis. To me, that's still a huge W. I think that we're going to see him take even more of a leap going into next season when he'll be 21. He'll hopefully have filled into his frame a little bit more. He'll be a little bit stronger, a little bit smarter, all that good stuff. We compared him a lot to the guy who got drafted right after him, Keegan Murray, but Keegan Murray is 3 years older than Jabari. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that these guys are, I guess you could say, neck and neck. Keegan might be a little bit better now, who knows? But Keegan had a 3-year head start. So, like, let's check back in 3 years, and I'm willing to bet Jabari is probably going to be better than what Keegan Murray is today. So, like I said, I'm ecstatic with what I've seen from Jabari lately too. That'll kind of transition to me into the next one I want to make, but I'll let Brad kind of touch on Jabari and what his thoughts are lately.
Yeah, I'll say this. You know, Jabari, a big thing with him has been, you know, his three-point shot is a big reason why he's playing a lot better this year. He went through a slump after his injury that he had, his ankle injury. And now, this month, he's back again. On 5 attempts a game, he's shooting 41.5% from 3. And that's huge for his game. He opens up the floor so much more when he's hitting his 3-ball. And not even that. You know, he's getting to his midi, his post-fade, all things that we'd like to see more of from him. You know, he's been in a unit right now. Will, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but this unit is Aaron Holiday. You have Jayshon Tate, Reggie Bullock, Jeff Green, and Jabari Smith Jr.
Jabari Smith, the 5, yeah.
That is the Rockets' current second-string unit with all the injuries they have. And I'd like to see Jabari Smith Jr. be the focal point of that unit. And that involves, you know, pick and pops and getting him, you know, in the post and working on that post fade because he's able to get that shot off over a ton of people. It is an unguardable shot when he's on, of course. So, yeah, that's been all for Barry. And outside of that, the defense has been good. Our guy, Edomar, you know, used to be DGC on Twitter. He just posted it. He held Donovan Mitchell to 0-4 from the field yesterday and was forcing a few turnovers. When you have a 6'11 guy with a 7'2 wingspan who can guard the perimeter, he didn't do the best against the Clippers. That wasn't the best for him defensively. But, man, again, still very young, and the potential is there for him to guard guys who are 6'3 and smaller even. And you know, again, having that switchability, versatility, you know, in a lineup is huge. It's huge, especially if that same guy can stretch the floor. So he's been a huge part of this team's success as well. Again, when you have guys like him and Jalen start to click at the same time, along with Fred, it's a huge reason why the Rockets have the best record in March. But, yeah, just to highlight what Jabari Smith Jr. has done, it can't be downplayed. Because what he brings is really unlike a lot of players in NBA history. A guy at that size being able to shoot threes at a high volume while also guarding 1 through 5. Historically has not been seen too many times. It's a new age now. We see it more now, of course. But yeah, Jabbar is one of those new age.
But Jabbar might be the only guy his size who's doing those two things, though. I don't know.
I would say maybe Jonathan Isaac. Maybe Jonathan.
Yeah, Isaac. Yeah, Isaac. Yeah, for sure.
He's a dog defensively too. But yeah, outside of those two, if you want to count Jaren Jackson, sure.
He's more big than wings.
Yeah, more big. Of course, locks wouldn't be point. But yeah, this is a new hybrid of bigs who can space the floor and defend a lot of positions. So big props to Jabbar again. He's only going to prove he's 20 years old. But yeah, we had to discuss play-in and also this Alper and Shang Boon talk. I think those are our last two. You might have had another one.
Yeah, it was one more. Keeping the core together. I want to touch on one thing you said about Jabari though.
Yeah,
with the switch defensive things, the Rockets might have two guys who, in their primes, will be some of the only guys in the NBA who can switch 1 through 5.
Right? Three. And, like, three.
Yeah, shoot, Tari. I forgot about Tari. Yeah, absolutely. But for sure, Jabari and Amin, I think they both have the size, the skill set, the foot lateral speed. To guard 1 through 4, I wouldn't say, like I said, with Jabari, not as much 1 through 5. I think Amin can you? I think Amin's guard better at guarding guards. And I think Jabari's a little bit better at guarding the bigs, but I think they can both. If you were to leave, like, I don't feel uncomfortable with Amin on Jared Allen for one possession. That is not going to be uncomfortable. I don't feel uncomfortable if I have to leave Jabari on Donovan Mitchell for just one possession. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, if it's, as long as it's not like an all game kind of thing, I'm okay with that. We'll live the results of that. Cause I trust those guys on a one possession sample. I trust them to get a stop there. Right. And that's really rare, bro, to have not just one, but potentially two and maybe even three of those guys. Like, that's where I think one of the reasons we've seen a lot of success recently also outside the pace is not the slight Shingun, which we're going to talk about next. But right now, with the starting lineup of like Fred, Jalen, Dylan, Amin, and Bari, and like I said, shout out to Jalen for stepping up defensively, we're seeing a lineup that kind of can almost switch 1 through 5. Like, a lot of, like, obviously, Jalen and Fred ain't guarding no bigs, but they're able to, they can switch, right? Jabari can switch. The guy who Dylan Brooks is guarding, Jabari can guard him, Amin can guard him. If Dylan gets switched onto a men's guy, he can guard a men. He can guard Jabari. Like, these guys are all very versatile defensively. And that, like, it's not like you really can't, you know, mismatch hunt on us as much anymore, right? It's not like there's not even, you think you have a mismatch with like Dylan on a big, but we watched Dylan do a good job on Wimby not too long ago. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there's not that many areas in our starting five where you're like, we can pick on this guy defensively. Like, there's not that many of those. The weakest defender right now is probably Jalen, and like I said, to his credit, he's played really good defense lately. A lot of times where like it may not result in like a missed shot, but the process defensively for Jalen has been so much better lately. So I want to kind of point that out. But the big topic, the most controversial topic, Alper and Shingun thing, are we better without him? I don't want to make this one too long because I think that's I think that's one of the worst things I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, that's a terrible take. And I think that if anyone is seriously like perpetuating that take, don't listen to them. Like, don't take their opinion seriously at all. Take away their license to speak about basketball. They have no idea what they're talking about. And there's so many reasons why that's like a flawed thing. For starters, man, y'all are basing this off of what 3 games without Shingun, because he got hurt a week ago against the Kings. So it's been, I think, 3 games.
And he played 5 games this month. And I'm gonna cook up these stats and I'm gonna share them when you're done.
So ahead. Okay, cool. He's played. This is on a 3-game sample size. 3-game sample size of us allegedly playing better without him. Which, by the way, not to say that a win isn't a win, because a win is a win. But 2 of those 3 wins were against some of the worst teams in the NBA. So, like, let's contextualize that real quick. It wasn't like we beat the Denver Nuggets without Shingun, right? Like, we beat 2 of the worst teams in the league. So, but like I said, a win is a win. But it's a 3-game sample size compared to the infinitely larger sample size of this. Was it 60 games Alper and Shingun played this season? And of that 60, I can say maybe, like, we have 30 wins this year, bro. At least 10 of those are just from Shingun alone. Just him being great, where like if we didn't have Shingun that night, we would have lost, and it would have been a blowout. So for me, it's like you can't look at the 60 game sample size where, like I said, 30 of our 10 of our 30 wins off the top of my head are just off the X with Operation Shingun, and then say, well, we have three games against, you know, like I said, against some two pretty bad teams, and like, yep, we're better without this guy. Like that's not how sample sizes work. That's not how data is collected. And then on top of that, like the reasons for why, like, we're playing allegedly better, people are complaining faster to better. And one, we were playing faster without Prince Shingun in the lineup. Like, that was the transition from, you know, the picking up of our offense did not happen overnight. Like it was picking up without Prince Shingun in the lineup. That's one. But two, like I said, the biggest reasons why the transition and the tempo has been faster is not because Shingun's gone. It's because, like I said, we now have Fred VanVleet as the primary ball handler. He's picking the speed up, right? Amen Thompson is starting now. He's elite athlete, elite defender, elite event creator, leads to more transition opportunities, which, like I said, him and Jalen are able to capitalize on, right? Then we also have Jalen Green playing some of the best basketball of his career lately, which I know someone's going to try to push a narrative like, oh, look, Jalen's playing better without Shingun. But, like, remember the Suns game was a week and a half ago where Jalen was going crazy? Shingun played that game, right? A lot of these games that where Jalen has been – Jalen's put together by, like, 9 or 10 consecutive games of good basketball play. And Shingun was in over half of those games. So this idea that he's just all of a sudden picking it up without Shingun, that's – once again, not proven by anything. So I don't know. I think that if anybody that I've seen it a lot on Twitter, it's nonsense. Like it's such a bad take that it's frustrating how bad it is. Like that's one of the worst I've heard in my entire life based upon this season. So yeah, anybody who's saying that, man, don't take their opinion seriously. It's not based on any fact, none of that. I think the only thing that we've learned as a result of Alperen Shingun's absence is that this team is capable of surviving the non-Shingun minutes now, which is something that we could not say earlier this year. We could not say, like, earlier this year, if Shingun's on the bench, we were probably losing those minutes. We found a way to play good basketball without our best player, which is a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Like, that's a good thing. Like, this isn't – we're not a one-dimensional team no more, right? We have multiple ways to kill an opposing team, one of which includes – you know, with Shingun not in the lineup, and we know how good he can be in the lineup. So I think this is going to make us an even better team in the long run. Now that we kind of know there's a way we can play without him, but yeah, I'm gonna let my point there.
Yeah, the Rockets were 4-1 this month without Shingun, and he was averaging.
And that, I'm just not to get you up. That one that was against the Clippers, which is one of the best teams in the entire league. So like,
yeah. This, okay, bro, he's averaging this month. They were again 4-1. He's averaging 24, 12, 5 assists, 2.4 steals on 52 field goal percentage. Like, what are we talking about? They were playing good basketball this month as a whole, and it carried into the next few games. The big reason why they're succeeding is Jabari Smith Jr. is actually knocking down his shots. Fred VanVleet is averaging 20 and 10 on the month. Jalen Green is playing like the Jalen Green we thought he was going to play like at the start of the season. Those are all things that's contributing, along with playing a lot faster. Again, they can play faster with Alperen Şengün. That can be discussed when Alperen Şengün comes back. But him being omitted from this team is not the reason why they're all of a sudden playing good. Again, like it's a very bad take. Alperen Şengün is by far the best player on this roster. He's shown that time and time again. He can carry this team. Again, terrible take. Please don't suggest that. I'm sure we'll see some comments on it. And if you do believe that, go ahead and please share your thoughts. But I'll just disagree and leave it at that. The stats say enough and the eye test says enough. But I prefer to talk about this Rockets team, you know, potentially making a play-in push. And then after that, we'll talk about this core. But yeah. What do you think, Will? Well, you know, I'll go first real quick. I'll go. Play-in push. I went on the radio with my guy Stan and Chris Gordy. And I said, you know, this Rockets team, they're probably not going to make the play-in. And for me, it wasn't more so about this team, you know, winning the games to do so. It was more about I'm looking at the Lakers. I'm looking at Golden State. Are those teams going to even lose enough games for Rockets to catch up? At this point in time, you know, with Houston being on a 5-game winning streak, the Lakers and the Warriors both have 32 losses. The Rockets have 35 losses. There's about 17-ish games left. The Rockets really need to finish this season probably only losing like 3 more games at the most if they want to make a play-in, maybe 3 or 4. And it's doable. I don't know which team's going to fold, the Lakers or the Warriors for the Rockets to try to make that push. But all Houston can focus on right now is winning basketball games and pushing that into next season. That was ultimately my focus when I said this wasn't going to be a play-in team. It wasn't about the Rockets. It was more so about Golden State Lakers. But I think this team can be a 500 basketball team by the end of the year. And to me, that's a success. We look at the bubble Phoenix Suns, who excelled and did not make the playoffs. They excelled at the end of the season. And then the next year, they went to the finals. Again, they did get Chris Paul, which is a huge reason why they went to the finals. But using that example of winning games at the end of the year, after coming off of the rebuild, it carries into the next year. And it's a good way. You know, it's a good habit. The team needs to get in the habit of winning basketball games. And once they do that, again, it carries into next year. So I do like that Houston is a very good home team. I think culture is important with that. And I think that's something that sticks. If you're a good home team, you're a good home team. And I don't think that's going to go away. Once they learn to win on the road, and at this point in time, Will, correct me if I'm wrong, Houston has won 4 games in a row on the road. So now they're winning games on the road, along with dominating at home. And we've seen when they play a good team at home, they can win. They almost beat that Clippers team, and they did beat that Cavs team. They beat the Nuggets twice at home. Again, they beat a number of teams, OKC at home. So, yeah, they can make a push. They just have to continue to win games. These next four are against Washington on the road. That's the worst team in the NBA. That should be a win. You have the Chicago Bulls at home, a big roster with Drummond and Vucevic. But again, that's an under team. They suck. They can beat them. Then you have two other games. You have Utah, who they beat by one recently. And Utah, again, they have a top 10 pick that is protected. So if they don't land in the bottom 10, they lose their pick. That's not a team that should be winning basketball games right now. So give me Houston in that game. And then we got Portland, who they should be able to walk the floor with. So, yeah. Those 3 games at home, that should be a 9-game winning streak, and that pushes Houston to 36 and 35. I hope they can reach that point. The way they've been playing, they should reach that point. And we'll just have to see what Golden State and the Lakers do. But I'd love to see the team make a play-in push and ultimately finish over, you know, 500. And last thing I'll say, since 1986, this Rockets team has only been below 500 6 times, with 3 of those times being the past 3 years. So historically, they are a good team. They don't lose. They aren't a losing team historically. These past 3 years were intentional. I think this year, you know, they might mess around and finish 42-40 or better. Yeah.
I'm looking at our schedule for the rest of the month, like as you were talking about. We have 32 wins right now, which, by the way, is that's the over for what Vegas had our win line at. Vegas had us at 31.5 wins. We got 32, which to me I thought was free cash, but. But yeah, so that was the line. We've won more games than we were projected to win this season. But what we have the Wizards coming up, bad team, Bulls coming up, bad team, Jazz coming up, solid team, but they're tanking. So bad team, Blazers coming up, bad team, Thunder, good team, but we, for some reason, always play really well against them. Jazz again, once again, tanking, bad team, and then the Mavericks, which they're a good team. Now I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're going to, you know, because I said, what was this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bad teams. I'm not going to chalk that up as 5 wins. I know how the NBA works and just how, you know, we were able. It's like, I know for a fact Nuggets fans were looking at the Rockets this season and like, okay, that should be an instant win. We beat them 3 times. So like, I'm not going to, you know, pencil in. Yeah, we should beat the Wizards. Yeah, we should beat the Bulls. We should, but it's the NBA. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to pencil them in as wins. They have to win them first. And I would feel a lot more confident in our ability to win these games if Alperen Şengün was there. I think it's really unfortunate that he's not able to participate in this final stretch, because I think that he would have been really crucial for us here. So I'm not gonna say we're gonna go on like this super duper. Like I feel like we're gonna at least one of these games that we're looking at right now is like a should be an easy win. I think at least one of them we're going to drop. Just speaking the laws of like averages and just how the league works, we're probably going to drop one of these games. But we have a lot of games that are very, very winnable coming up. And all you can do, I meant Tom said yesterday, they're trying to win games, trying to make the playoffs. All you can do is do your end of the bargain. Just win the games, right? You can't focus on, well, the Lakers are doing this, the Warriors are doing this. Handle your business. As long as you are executing and you're winning games and you know what you're supposed to do, you live with the results of that. And if the results of that is playing phenomenal, great. That's what we all want to see. If it's not, you try. You gave yourself an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? The West is stacked right now. And I've been talking about that for a while now. The East is so much easier right now. If we were in the East, we'd be a play-in team. the West is loaded. There are 10 teams, like the Warriors as the 10, or actually it's the Lakers now. The Lakers as the 10 seed were in the Western Conference Finals last year. So like that's how like insanely good the West is right now. So falling short by like a game or two because it's just really good, like no one's going to beat us up over that. No one's going to hang their head in the locker room. Oh, we didn't make it. Like it is what it is. And you have to factor in the fact that we are without our best player for this stretch. We've been without Tyrese all season long. Cam Whitmore is not in the rotation at all right now. He's out with that LCL sprain. Amin Thompson missed like a month and a half of basketball early in the year. For Evan Vliet missed about a week and a half, I believe. Like there's been all types of these injuries. We haven't had a consistent, like we have not had our consistent rotation at all this year. Now that I think about it, I don't think we've had our consistent like starting five plus the key bench pieces for maybe five games this year. And this is always going to be a strength of numbers team, and we haven't had our numbers at any point in time. So the fact that we're even able to be in this position, all things considered, I think is great. I think that if we were healthy, which is the NBA, injuries happen, but I think if we were healthy, I think we'd absolutely be in the playing picture right now. So we're about what, three games back of the Lakers, three and a half games back of the Lakers. So it's a decent gap we had to make up with the last 15 games, and they have to drop some games in order to kind of get there. Is it possible? Yes. But like Brad said, for me, I just wanted this team to be in a position where they're playing basketball that means something. I think the Phoenix Suns analogy is perfect because that was the bubble Suns. Those were playing games for them. Each of those games mattered. They, you know, for some teams, these final games are like an excuse to kind of start load managing and resting and prepping up for the playoffs. But for the Suns that year, like, nah, like that ain't no rest. It's no slowing down. We have to win all these games. And it's the same thing for the Rockets. And like Brad said, adding Chris Paul to that team is what ultimately led them to, you know, go on to the finals. And I'm not going to say we're going to make a finals run next year, but I do think that whenever a young team is held to the fire, I think they succeed, they always come out a lot better. And we watched it just last year with the Thunder, which, by the way, somebody pointed out, we have the exact amount of wins and losses as the Thunder did this time last year. So that's, you know what I'm saying? People who are like, oh, our reboot is cooked. Like the Thunder, I universally recognize like the best next upcoming team. And we're literally on pace to be where they are. We were where they were last year. So there's that. But yeah, I think anytime you put a young team to the fire and they come out of like the Thunder did last year, now you see they're at the top of the West right now. And so these games are important. These games matter. This is the first time in Jalen Green's career and Jabari Smith's career and Amin, you know, his young career. This is the first time where these guys are in games where they matter, where like it's not, we go out there, we're not resting vets, we're not tanking. We're trying to win every single game. And each loss, like that hurts. Like you feel that loss. It's not like, oh, we'll just get them next time. Like, nah, like, dropping the Clippers game, man, that hurts. You needed that one. And that's all I wanted. I just wanted them to be at the end of the season, just be in a position where they're playing meaningful basketball post-All-Star break, where these games matter. I think this experience is important. And I think that if we're, like I said, especially if we're successful in pulling this off, I think we're going to see huge dividends next season, which kind of segues into at least my last point, I believe, that I want to talk about today. Yeah, that was my last point, which is just, keeping this core together. Like that is the one thing that I've been trying to drive home all season long. I think we kind of got spoiled by the fact that we went on a run earlier this year. And you know, we were as high as like the sixth seed at one point in time. And Alperen Sengun took a leap, and you know, everybody was like, okay, we're ready to win now. And I was like, let's pump the brakes, guys. Like Sengun is 21. We're not gonna win a championship this year or next year. So like there's no reason to like rush this process. You don't need to trade, you know, your young pieces. You don't need to trade your picks to get Donovan Mitchell. He's a great player, but that's not what we need right now. We don't need to – God forbid we do it for, like, Mikal Bridges. We don't need that either. The Lauri Markkanens of the world. Like, there's a solid core in place right now that has the opportunity to grow and gel together with another offseason of their belt. So, like, guys are going to come back next season even better than they are this year, right? We're going to have year two, Amin and Cam, who those two guys have been – like I said, amazing already. I think they for rookies, they have both exceeded the normal expectations for rookies. They've contributed to winning basketball in year one, so they're going to come back next year even better. We're going to now see Tari and Jabari in year three, and you know, having Tari come back, we're going to have Jalen and Sengun in year four, right? Hopefully we'll see more consistency from Jalen going into next season. Alperen Sengun takes hopefully another leap. He's been really good this year. I think he can step another level next season. I believe, you know, my love and relationship with Fred VanVleet, he's going to be back next year. I think he's, you know, he's going to be even better now because now he'll have less of a role to be like the scorer. He can kind of focus more on facilitating and playing defense. Dylan Brooks is somebody who I think is very movable this summer, but even if you don't move him, I think he's been a great vet for us. He's been a great enforcer. He does his job really, really well. You have Steven Adams, who's kind of the backup center that we've been missing this entire season. Well, shout out to Jock Landale, by the way. We didn't talk about him. Jock Landale's been playing really well lately. But yeah, really shout out Jock Landale. But Steven Adams is, you know, should be better when he comes back healthy next season. So I just named nine guys. That's a nine-man rotation right there. I think it has everything. It has guards, it has wings, it has bigs, it has defenders, it has shooters. I'd bring in maybe a movement shooter this summer, maybe with the Nets pick, you know, maybe Reed Shepard is there, although he's, you know, probably like top three now. So who knows what's going to happen with that guy, but you know, maybe we bring in that kind of guy with the pick this year and we trade the pick for a shooter and we trade something else for a shooter. That would probably be the one area that I would look to address this summer. I would bring in kind of like, not necessarily saying this guy will be available, but someone in like that Kevin Herter kind of mold who can come off screens and nail kind of some off balance, some tough threes for us. I think that's the one thing we really need. I bring in that guy and I keep the score together, man. And when they're healthy, like the offseason, the addition we make this summer is just getting Steven Adams healthy, getting Tari Eason healthy, getting Sengun healthy, getting Cam healthy, staying healthy. Like that's the biggest thing this team needs this summer. It's not, we don't need major roster turnover. We need health. Because when this team was healthy, when they were all on the same accord, when they were clicking, we were the sixth seed. I know that was like, you know, the first, 30 games of the season, but like, that's where we were. That's how good this team was before the injuries. And that's, like I said, they're going to be even better next year with another year, another offseason with Udoka, another year for development to take place. I'm not touching it right now, bro. I think this team is going to be, I'll go on record now, I think this team will be a seed at the worst next season. That's my prediction. I think a seed is the floor for this team next year. Yeah, I'm not touching it. You know, I might make some ancillary moves here and there, but the core I think is intact. I believe in the core. I believe in what we're building. And I'm not moving nothing right now. I'm keeping it. We're going to next season. I think we're going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, Will made all the points that I necessarily agree with. I don't know what seed they'll be, but I do know running this back is a great idea. You know, I mean, Thompson's going to be a lot better. We see what he's doing right now. He's going to be more comfortable. Jalen Green. If we get the Jalen Green we begin right now, yeah, this team is going to do really great things. Of course, Tari Eason, we always say at the start of the year, top three most impactful player on this roster. When he's back, he's going to do great things. Steven Adams, one of the best plus minus guys in the NBA. When he's out there with the second unit, that's great hoops, man. This is going to be a really good basketball team. Ken Whitmore with his work ethic, he's coming back, you know, year two. Yeah. Give me this team above 500 next year. I don't know what their record will be. I can see like 44, 38 at the worst. And I know that seems reasonable, crazy. But right now, yeah, well, exactly. I think it's reasonable. And this is a basketball team right now that could be above 500 right now. Tari was healthy for the entire year, you know. And I know basketball teams get injuries, so it's hard to just kind of say stuff like that. But, again, young team that didn't have the most depth, now we're seeing them really figure it out. And most importantly, they have one of the best coaches in the NBA, in Ime Udoka, who is going to make this team a top 10 defense regardless. And they were a top 10 defense, regardless of what you think about Alperen Sengun. They were top 10 defense with Alperen Sengun, and who, in my opinion, improved a lot as a defender this year. So it's only going to get better. Again, another year under this head coach, offseason to train together. Another big thing is Alperen Sengun avoiding a major injury. Thank God he's going to have an offseason to improve his game some more. So, yes, I'm looking forward to all that stuff again. Keep the core intact. That's my thing. I don't make any premature trades. I'm not trading for Mikal Bridges. Even if Brooklyn budges, they were tripping before. They could have had him if we're going off the reports. And, yeah, it's too late for all that. I'm sorry. But, yeah, man, that's all I got. I keep the core intact. Keep the core six intact. Running back, they're going to be playing. Yeah, it's going to be fun. But, yeah, I really wouldn't do too much. The only conversation is what do they do with that top 10 pick that they get from Brooklyn, especially what do they do if they get another top, you know, say the OKC pick lands in the top four. Then it's like, damn, what are we doing? Like, what do we do? You know, we got two top 10 picks, and we don't necessarily have a lot of room. Like, what are we doing? So that's going to spark a discussion when that time comes. If it comes, we can discuss that. But yeah, as of right now, I don't force any trades. Don't move anyone prematurely. see what happens next year. But that's all I got. It's fun to watch this basketball team right now. Again, best record in March. They have easy 4-game stretch coming up. See if they can make it 9 games in a row. But yeah, that's all I got this episode.
Same for me too. We appreciate y'all for listening, for staying with us this long into the pod. I'll shout out the playback room. Make sure I get that. Make sure I type it on the website. Continue to show support to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. Like, so we appreciate the support. No matter where you're supporting us. That's it for me. I don't know, Brian, I want anything else.
And then sub to the channel. That's all I got to say. Appreciate y'all again. We'll be back soon. Yep.